Let's pray. Lord, we do ask you right now, especially for Elaine, that you would truly just help them resolve that where she can have the rest of it removed. Father, just sustain her physically, ease the pain. For Courtney as well, Blanton, who's seriously injured in an accident, a long recovery. You just ease the pain she's having. The surgery's upcoming. That you would just remind us just to be praying for them. Father, just give them peace in the midst of all of this. We thank you that we can trust you, not only in this life, but in eternity. But we ask your blessings for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you're a guest today, it's good to have you with us. We did say the men's meeting tomorrow night at the cabin at 6 p.m., okay? I really want to talk about Jacob and Esau, but I realized in preparing that we have to back up a little bit and look at Isaac, their father, to really set the stage for what went on with Jacob and Esau, because there's a lot that comes out of that. Jacob and Esau, one chosen and one not, and the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And so what we're doing today is we're going to look at that. Isaac, there's a lot in here that sometimes, you know, we don't pay any attention to Isaac because his father was so great, Abraham, and his son so great, Jacob. Isaac gets lost in the middle. And even though he lived longer than any of those other patriarchs, in that sense, we just say Isaac. And we don't understand how important Isaac's life was in Jesus coming and salvation coming, because Jesus came. And so we're going to back up and look, because they made some of the same crazy mistakes that we make. And we can learn a little bit if we pay attention, because we really want to just get ready for Jacob and Esau and see, because of what came out of that situation we still see today in the Middle East. And that is part of the reason we have that problem. And this background, I hope, will help us. So we're just going to read first some out of Genesis. The reason I'm saying Isaac and following is the actual word, it says the generations of Isaac in the verses. The generation it really doesn't mean just one thing. It means because of him, all the things that came after him. It would be like Isaac and the developing story. It's kind of how that's translated, even though we don't get it in English that way. And this is what it says in verse 19. And these are the generations. Again, it's not just Isaac and his kids. It's everything that comes after Isaac. Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. He had Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac entreated Jehovah for his wife because she was barren. She couldn't have kids. And Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. We'll see in a moment. 20 years later, she conceived. He was 40 when they got married. He was 60 when the twins were born. So they're praying and trusting God and waiting. You ever waited 20 years while you're praying for something? Well, we can learn from that one, right? He didn't do like, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. He didn't do like his father and his mother. What did they say? Well, God ain't going to ever do this. We'll have to take it on our own. And we have a mess right now from Jacob and Esau because of that, right? And the children struggled together within her. Isn't that amazing? They were already fighting. They were. It says what? When they were born, what? He had already grabbed his heel. They were fighting. There wasn't just children moving around. They were fighting because it says that. And she said, if it be so, wherefore do I live? What in the world is going on, God? You know, why is this going on? And why am I having so much trouble with this pregnancy? And so she went to inquire of Jehovah. We don't know if she went to a prophet or what, but she said, I want to find out from God what's going on. And Jehovah said to her, here's the problem. Two nations. When all these people are talking about predestination and Jacob and Esau, they try to tie it to personal salvation. That's not what it is. He's choosing a nation. One he chose, and he said, I can use this one I can't. And we'll see that unfold several sermons with Jacob and Esau. Two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other one, and the elder shall serve the younger. That was not traditional Jewish. Traditional Jewish was the older guy got it all. He was responsible. He was the leader. It all was just automatically his. And you'll see in just a moment, whenever Esau's true temperament was shown, he said, I don't want it. We know we get on top of Jacob and say, he's a shyster, he was a trickster. Esau was apathetic. He said, I don't really care about any blessing from God. I just want to go out and hunt something. That's it. We don't translate it that way, but that's exactly what happens. And we do the same thing. We get so concerned about some game we can play, whether we're adults or children, and we just push God aside. That's exactly what Esau did, and it cost him. And it cost us what he did, even today. And that's exactly what happened. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came forth his brother, and his hand was on Esau's heel. They're already fighting. You can't fix that one. Bless his heart, Trump may be trying. He can't fix that. There ain't nobody on this earth going to fix that one but Jesus. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to help them say, hey, you know, we can try to live together. It's not going to be fixed until Jesus comes back. They've been fighting since then, and they're going to keep fighting. Why? And what? And it says that. And his hand laid hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80. He was 60 when he was born. So they've been waiting and trusting God for 20 years. Because God promised, oh yeah, I'm going to give you this child. And the boys grew. There's a lot of time in there that we don't have. You know, it just says, now these things happen, but a lot of time in there that grows up that doesn't show us what happened, and it just picks it up again. And we'll see next week. He just kind of goes backwards and forwards, filling us in on some stuff, but it's not chronological. We don't have it that way. And grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in the tents. I don't think he just dwelled in the tents, because when he left, he was on his own running from Esau. What did he know how to do? He knew how to manipulate the cow herd and the goat herd. So he wasn't a dummy. So he wasn't just sitting in there playing video games. Hello? I'm sorry. I never played video games. We didn't have them. Who grew up in that era? You had to go down to the video place where they had video games then, right? And put a quarter in? Who remembers that? I didn't do that much either. I only had one or two games that I ever played, but it wasn't very often. Quarters were too hard to come by then. Hello? And Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Now Isaac, here we go. Major problem. Now Isaac loved Esau. Favoritism. That's what it is. We'll see it next week in detail. Because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Favoritism. There it is. It costs a lot, and it'll show up. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. He said, oh, I'm famished. Some of your translations say that. They won't say faint. It says famished, right? You ever been famished? You ever been without eating because you couldn't get your hands on it and you really were famished? And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray, with that red pottage, for I'm faint. I'm famished. I'm starving. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, first you got to pay me. Sell me your birthright. Okay? Does Esau know what comes with that? Yes, he does. He's already been taught as a Jewish boy. He's entitled. He's a man. He's going to get all this stuff. It's not, he didn't know what he was doing. Oh, yeah, he knew. I guarantee you, he knew that already. Sell me your birthright. They could do that. Deuteronomy talks about it, how it could be passed on. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die, so what good is it me going to be to have a birthright? It's more important than I eat right now. Then I wait and fulfill what God wants to do in my life. Isn't that the way we operate? God, if I wait on you, I won't even get to enjoy what I want to do. Okay. And that's exactly what happens here. So he said, sell it to me. And Jacob said, you got to prove this is a deal. Now, I ain't taking Jesse's word for it. We've been through a couple of those situations where, unfortunately, where I was given some counsel by our Georgia Baptist Association. They said, hey, you know, this thing wasn't going so well in this church. And said, you know, if you're going to leave and they're going to do this, get it in writing. I said, what is the church? He said, oh, no, no. Every day we see churches tell the pastor, if you'll just leave, we'll give you this. He gets out the door. They never give him anything. He said, make it in writing. I'm glad I did, because I had to deal with some renegades. And if it hadn't been for that in writing, because they even tried to undo some stuff that they had promised, I said, oh, well, wait a minute. You signed it. He said, no, you ain't going to get out of this one. He said, you got to make this good. And he's swearing to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Wow. You understand? This is the blessing of God that he's selling out. The promise that God gave him as the firstborn in a Jewish, that's just the way it was. And God set it up. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drank, and he rose up and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. I don't need that. I don't need God. I don't need God's promise that he's going to do things through me. I don't need that. You see what this is? We always say that Jacob was a bad guy. Esau didn't care. He had no, later on we'll see if we get that far, where Hebrews absolutely says it, that he was what? He was profane, is how it describes him, because he cared not for the things of God. That's exactly what it says. There's a problem in the making with this stuff going on, with this birth and all this stuff. I mean, there's always a problem in the making, eh? Hello? Isaac's dad was famous. Abraham, his son Jacob, was famous. So who was Isaac? A lot of people don't even have a clue. Oh, he was Jacob's father, and that's it. That's all they get out of it. They don't look at the rest of it. So we kind of lose him and lose anything about who he is or what's going on in his life because of that. And the generation means this, simply. When you look at Isaac, you look at all the things in his life and what it prepared for all the other things to come. You said, well, it was the same thing in Abraham. Yes, to some extent. But in Hebrews, it says almost like Isaac was like Christ in what he was used for by God. That's a pretty big deal when they write you up like that, right? It's something like it was the developing story that starts with Isaac because of who he was and what God did. Abraham's marriage after the death of Sarah brought all kind of kids and grandkids and a lot of stuff in that, all right? But all of these additional sons never were given the status that Isaac got because he was God's chosen. Does that mean the rest of them didn't have a choice? Oh, yeah, God blessed them anyway, but not to the extent that he blessed Isaac. Why? Because who he was. He's like the heir of all things. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. And he fulfills the promise. God said, okay, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do that. And his covenant promise, number one, demanded, okay, you got to have a kid to do this, and you've been 20 years, and you don't have one yet. And then on the other side, look at Ishmael's people. There were kids coming out of the woodwork. But they were the non-chosen kids. Okay? You got to remember that. It doesn't mean salvation. It says God's blessing is on them because who was their dad? Their dad really didn't care about anything with God. You know, he sold it. He said, I don't care this. I'd rather have a good time right now than even think about really what God wants to do in my life and for me to obey him. And for 20 years, they didn't have a child. But they'd been given a promise by God. He said, oh, yeah, he's going to come from your loins. That's where he's going to come. That's what's going to happen. When God makes you a promise, sometimes you just have to say, am I going to wait? Or am I going to manipulate the situation like his dad did? Remember Abraham and Sarah? He made them a promise. And when God took a little bit longer than they wanted, they just said, well, we'll fix this ourselves. So she goes and gets Hagar to come in to have a child. And God said, that ain't it. And didn't take long for Sarah to say, we can't have this lady and her child in the house. Remember that one? And then God said, but I'm still going to take care of him. He's not the chosen one, and the redemption's not coming through him, but I'll still take care of him. Remember what he said? He said, I see you. Oh, I'm going to take care of you, but you're not the promised one. You're not it. And it's like a rerun. Sarah was barren. God said, I'm going to give you a child. They manipulated it, and it wasn't a good deal. And that fight that we're talking about, it came out of that. It came out of that fight from what Sarah and Abraham did with Hagar. There's where your fight came, and that's why we still have it over now. And it's a really difficult thing to become a great nation if there's no kid involved, eh? But God said, oh, no, I'm going to do it. I promise you I'm going to do it. And Isaac didn't follow his dad in this time. Later he does. He lies about Rebecca because Rebecca was a looker. You know, she was good looking. So when they go down to Gur, and those people say, well, who is this? And he said, this is my sister. Where'd he learn that from? Dad? What are you kids learning from your dad? Learning how to lie? Learning what's important in life that's not God? You're setting an example. What are you doing? Oh, he's that one. God dealt with it, not in the same way. And that's exactly what happened. So what does God do there? Instead, Isaac said, well, I'm going to pray. And one of the commentators, the older guys, the new ones are too liberal, you can only read them. These old guys go back 100 years. And one of them said, you know, it seems like the way this is written, he says he didn't just pray for her, he prayed for her in front of her. He got right down in Rebecca's face and prayed over her with God hearing her that she would have a child. 20 years. When God doesn't do something you want done tomorrow, do you just quit and run? Or do you remain faithful? So he took his burden to the Lord, and that's exactly what happened. And he granted requests. So 20 years later, she's pregnant, has a child, has two children. Look at the difference. Ishmaelites run all over the place. And we just have one non-chosen. The Ishmaelites were not the chosen ones. They were not. Jacob's was the chosen one for a nation. This is not an individual salvation. How many times do the predestination of people say, oh, Jacob, Esau, he's not talking about a personal salvation. He's talking about a nation for which salvation would come through to a person who would trust him. As a matter of fact, I read something the other day from one of these real high Presbyterian guys who are really Calvinistic, and he surprised me. He said, you still have to make a choice. I said, hey, you finally saw it. You're 80 years old and you finally admitted that. That's what it says. Is God sovereign? Yes. Do you have a choice? Yes. And if you don't make a choice, boom, boom, you go to hell. It's not a default. Well, just because I went to church, I'm in. No. Well, just because I was baptized, I'm in. No. I don't care when it was. Just once saved, always saved stuff is the devil's way to make you think you're okay when you're not okay. Because you're living like hell. But you still say, oh yeah, I was saved back when I was a kid. I haven't been to church in 40 years and I don't live for him, but I'm saved because I was baptized one time. Don't wait on that one, boys and girls. Read the Bible and see what it says. You know, it means, Jesus said, oh, do you say you love me? Hey, how about you living for me? Isn't it what John says? He gives us a litmus test. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. If you say you love Jesus and you really hate somebody, bingo, you got a problem. And that's just one of the examples that he gives. I'm sorry, we got off course, didn't we? Isaac's line can't even become one. And the Ishmaelites are all over the place. How often does it seem that God's people and the prospects for them to do what he wants to do are not there? But what does 1 Corinthians tell us? It says what? In the foolishness of the cross, God does things. The announcement of God. Boy, it was a nasty pregnancy. I don't know if any of you ever had nasty pregnancies or not, have you? Where is she? No. Pregnant now. Where did she go? She gone? Danielle. I don't know if she's having one or not. It was bad enough. She cried out and asked God, God, what in the world is going on here? And he said, they're fighting. They're literally fighting in your womb. That's what the problem is. There's two nations. They're fighting. I hope you didn't have one of those. It caused her so much that we don't know if she called a prophet or what, but God answered her. And this is what he says. He says, what? There are two nations fighting in your womb. Come out of you. a divided people. One's going to be stronger than the other one, and it's not going to be conventional. The younger one's going to rule the older one. That is not Jewish tradition. The older guy got it all. He was the ruler, controller. You could trade it out, according to Deuteronomy. It wasn't easy, but there was some ways later that was talked about before, after this. But God just comes along and he said, I don't have to follow anybody else's God. You know, somebody said, if you had looked at an interview with this particular man, and you looked at an interview and it said that he didn't do well in college because he didn't go to college. And he was very timid. Matter of fact, in a couple of his other prior interviews, he fainted. So what is the chance of him doing anything for us? That was Winston Churchill. When you look at that and say, oh, there's no hope here. Oh, yeah, God said, I don't have to go by the Jewish rule on this thing. You know, churches get together now, and they just decide what God's going to do and what he ain't going to do. And they write a new book and say, Jesus said this, and he didn't say this. Remember all those Jesus seminars and all that nonsense? And everybody and brother, the Da Vinci Code, you know, that is hog rubbish if you didn't know that. I hope you didn't buy it, but you can throw it away. Look at the guy, what else he writes. He doesn't get his facts right about anything. How could he get them right about this? You know what I'm talking about? You know, look at what, anyway, we won't go down there again. And he says, oh no, it's not going to be that way. The older one is going to serve the younger one. Remember when Joseph got in trouble? He told all his brothers, I'm going to be in charge one day. Well, he was a little braggadocious, but he was right. Hey, eh? Oh no, you ain't going to do that. We're in charge. You're the youngest one. You'll never be over us. Romans 9, Paul talks about this. Oh no, this is not the way this thing goes. It was God's sovereign decision. This is how this is going to work. And it's God's sovereign decision. This is how you're going to be saved. You're not going to be saved by baptism or church membership or money or anything else. You're not going to be saved if you trust in the blood of Jesus to pay the price for your sins. Period. That's what it was. The same way it was. It's always been that way. Declared before their birth. They haven't been born yet. God said, this is what it's going to be. I need this and I need this. I'm going to choose it. It doesn't rest on them. But they get to make choices later, good and bad. We all do. It's going to be that way. God is unconventional in that sense. He said, I don't have to follow anybody else. You know, I read where one time President Lincoln was asking some of his advisors, you know, what about this? And they voted on it, and there were seven guys and him. There were seven nays and his yay. So after it was over, he said, we have seven nays and one yay. The yays get it. When you're in charge, you can do that, right? All these people fuss about God and say, well, God didn't have any right. Why not? You know, he's the one who started all this thing, right? And we just don't like that. We have hope because God is sovereign. He's in control. That's the only thing we got going for us. You know, I don't care who the president is, that is not our salvation. You know, it doesn't hurt. You know, I was reading this morning in my devotion in the Old Testament about how bad it is when Israel had a bad king. What did it do for them? It helped them get into captivity for 70 years. Boy, so don't be surprised if we pay some prices because we elect some fools. You do need to get out there and vote. You know that, right? Don't be sorry. You got a right that cost somebody their life for you to be able to vote and find out who you're voting for. Oh, I'm going to vote for him. He's a pagan. Well, they're all pagans, but still. Some of them have a track record that we know who he is. You need to do that. Don't be sorry. Don't be lazy. Find out what they stand for. And you have to go for what the best one is out there. There ain't no good ones. But just go for, this is the least worst one, I guess you'd say, right? And you say, God bless him. Bless her. That's all we got. You know, that's what God's doing here. Are any of these guys and girls perfect? He's working with what he's got. That's pretty sad sometimes when he looks at us and says, I'm sorry, Terry, you all I got. That is sorry. But that's the way it is. And that's exactly what he's doing. Well, why did God allow that? He's doing the best he could with man without making them do everything. See, God wants you to do something because you want to of your own volition. Oh, he can make you. He can make you do anything you want to make you do. He said, I ain't going to do that. The natural folly. Isn't that going on in our lives? Natural folly. Foolishness. Oh, my goodness. When they're grown up, a lot of time passed. We don't have a lot of those details. We don't. We don't. It just says now they're grown. You know, a lot is going on. They were totally opposite in every way you can mention. Those of you that have more than one child, are any of your child identical to the other one? Anybody? We only have one alive, so I don't know. Is that right? Are they all different? I know my brother and two sisters, and none of us alike. We have some things that are remotely alike, but boy, we're not alike. Had the same mom and daddy, had the same grandma and granddaddy. None of that was all mixed up in that kind of way. But boy, we're not alike. They were not alike. Boy, they were not alike. That's exactly what he says here. That's what's going on. They called him Edom because he ate red pottage, which means red. He was an expert hunter. Jacob, he didn't go out there in the woods. I don't think he just sat home and played video games because he had a lot of knowledge when he went over there and he manipulated the system to get all his animals up. Remember whenever he left how rich he was? Why? Because he manipulated the system. That's who he was. He was a manipulator. And that's exactly what happened. And it says all this. Esau, because Isaac loved Esau because he was addicted to his gain. But Rebecca loved Jacob. Favoritism to the max. I don't know where you are. If you've ever done that, you need to repent and go to your children and repent. I don't know how much more damage you could do than try to pick one. And some of your children might be easier to love than the other ones, eh? Hello? I can't say that. I don't know. Don't have that experience. This is what's going on here. And boy, it is a warning sign to us. It's obvious. Does this bring any trouble? Whoa. All kind of trouble. Favoritism. Well, I like him better than I like her. You know, there was an African airline, actually it's still in existence, but part of there was a Kalula airline years ago. They probably can't do that anymore, but they had their warning, you know, when you get on the plane and it says, you know, they're giving you walkthrough in case of this event, this thing opens and the air thing comes down and you put it on your face, right? I haven't flown in, I don't know, 15 years, but I'm sure they still do it, right? Well, they said that, and they said, first, put it on yourself, and then if you're traveling with a child, put it on them. And then if you're traveling with more than one child, pick your favorite. That's how they did it. Pick your favorite. Well, I guess if you only have one mask, and you got three kids, you got to do something. Somebody's got to do it, right? No, they would usually have a mask for all of them, right? Unless you were cheating, and you slipped a child in there wasn't supposed to be in there. I don't know if you can do that or not. Some people would try it. It raises all kind of red flags to us today about make sure you're not showing favoritism to your kids, whether they're 10 or 50. It's not healthy. Boy, it wasn't healthy here, and we'll see some of it next week. Yeah, it should be a warning to us. Now, here's the problem. We see this thing coming up, and Jacob is cooking. Esau's out there hunting. He's out there playing golf. He's out there at the racetrack. He's out there on his side-by-side, and he's sweating all day, and he comes in from playing. Hello, guys. Or girls. And he's famished. Oh, I got to have something to eat. I remember this guy near us. He was not an ethical hunter. Older, a lot older than me. I used to hang around with his child, who's dead now. They ran up and down the road all day Saturday, deer hunting and doing all this stuff. And he came in and he just flopped down in the lounge chair and his wife waited on him. Oh, I'm so tired. I'd want to kick him. I said, what? And she waited on him. He was a spoiled brat, number one. So that's what happens. He's been playing out there hunting all day, whatever he's doing, and it wasn't godly stuff. And he's famished. I'm not going to make it. Let me gulp down some of that red pottage that you know how to, because I'm famished. You ever been famished? You ever been that way? You ever been really 2 or 3 days without eating because you didn't have anything to eat? Huh. Esau sees stew. Jacob sees opportunity. So, you sell me your birthright. Sell it to me. Well, I'm about to die, so what good is birthright going to do me anyway? Ain't that a good reasoning? That's a good godly reasoning, ain't it? Well, God wants me to be happy. I know I'm breaking 9 other commandments to get my happiness this way, but I'm going to do it because God wants me to be happy. Yeah? Is that it? No, he wants you to be obedient. He wants me to be obedient. That's it. What possible good would it do me? So give me that stuff. Yeah. He said, but we're going to make it legal. Well, you got to swear to it. You got to sign the papers. Oh, we ain't doing that. So stew is served. The birthright was the oldest child first. And again, all kind of authority went with that. Okay? All kind of authority went with that. The blessings, the goods, everything. It was a big deal. A Jewish big deal. You could get out of it and sell it. Later on in Deuteronomy, it's talked about some. And that's exactly what goes on. So we'll see next time whenever the blessing is time to be passed on, and they trick him so he gives it to Jacob instead of Esau. So when you got the birthright, that was one part of it, but the blessing was another part of it. But you really needed the birthright to get the blessing. So there were two parts of it. So they did a follow-up trickster to get the whole deal done. And here's the problem. Was Jacob a shyster? Yes. But here's another problem. Esau didn't care. He was apathetic. I don't care about this God thing. It was automatically a blessing from God. He said, I don't need God's blessing. He said, I'm hungrier than I want to have God's blessings on my life. I want to have more fun this weekend than I want to do what God wants me to do. Same thing. He said, I don't care. So he said, oh yeah, I'm starving to death. I'd rather have something to eat than have this. No spiritual appreciation whatsoever for the whole thing that God wanted to do in his life as the oldest guy. You said, but you'd already tricked him. No, it hadn't done yet. He had the opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to sell it. He'd rather have his stomach filled. You can put anything in there. You'd rather have your car. You'd rather have your house. You'd rather have your toys. You'd rather have anything else. But I'd rather have that over God's blessings in my life. Therefore, I put all my money and my time in those things. Isn't that right? Where you spend your time and where you spend your money, that's where your heart is. I don't care what you say. That's a proof of it. That's exactly what it says. That's what Jesus said, right? Wherever your heart is, there will your what be also? Your treasure. What you treasure the most. His scheme to get the birthright indicated that he doubted God would fulfill the promise that he had made. So both of them are guilty. But Esau is just saying, I don't really care about this God stuff. Jacob does care, and he wants it, and he's trying to get it the wrong way. Esau was just to blame. The writer of Hebrews says what in chapter 12? It says what? He calls him profane. What happens next? He goes after all these wild women. He never sets up a tent. He never sets up an altar. You never see anything to do with God in his life. He didn't care. There's a lot of people in church, some in here today. You could care less what God wants to do in your life. You just want to go have fun. You want to get whatever you want, another house, another car, or some other toy. You don't really care, because if you have to give up some of that stuff for God to bless you, oh no, I ain't doing that. Same thing. Well, we can learn all kinds of stuff from this. Well, I don't like that. Well, that's the way it is. We blame Jacob. Esau was just as guilty, more guilty, I think. Jacob was wanting the blessing because he knew what came with it. He's just going about it the wrong way. Me trying to get the blessing the way Jacob got it would be like me trying to go to Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen. And one of those guys say, hey, lay hands on me and give me all this blessing, and they'll do it for a couple thousand. They'll do it. I mean, they do. Come on, that's about money. That's a whole gimmick. If you haven't seen through that yet, you're not paying attention whatsoever. Anyway, that's what's going on. He calls him profane. He doesn't care. Apathetic. How many people in church today, they could care less what God wants to do in their life? They just want to have fun. Just want to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Isn't that right? It's a shame. Faith is living without scheming. If God promises, I'm going to take care of you, you don't have a manipulated system. I'm going to take care of you. It might not be the car you want, but I'll get you one if that's what you need. It might not be the house you need, but if it's a house, it might not be a house you want, but if it's a house that can get you by, I'll take care of you. I'll get you something. Will you trust me and not manipulate the system and try to get it? Because I might take longer to get it to you because you need to learn some things in the meantime. There's a lot of learning goes on with waiting. Hello? Yeah, I'll be the first one. I hate waiting. Have I told y'all that? Yes. Restaurants? No. There's no food in the world good enough for me to wait over about 15 minutes. Because Burger King is faster than that. And they have the Bacon King. They ought to pay me. They ought to pay me. Because I advertise. It's the best thing out there. It just is. That's all there is to it. And I've eaten enough hamburgers in my 67 years. I know what a good hamburger is, all right? He despised the spiritual privileges that God had for him. You have some. God has all kind of privileges he wants to give you. Do you really don't care? So you're going to go on about your life and who cares? And he'll let you. He let Esau. He'll let you too. Or you can get the blessing without being a shyster like Jacob was and try to find a shortcut. Because sometimes God takes a while to get us where he wants to get us, to give us what he wants to give us. Because if he gave it to us in the first year, we couldn't handle it. So he has to wait a while, and if we get to the place where he can give it to us, he'll give it to us. Sometimes we never get there, so he doesn't give us that particular one. It's just the way it goes, because he's not going to waste it. He's going to say, if I give him this, he's not going to do anything with it. I'll go get Otis over there. I'll give it to Otis. Otis will use it right. That's the way that works. You know, God doesn't just have to use you, right? He'll use whoever is faithful. That's the way that works. Isaac, wow, did he set the pace? Yes, he did. He didn't follow his dad. He made some mistakes. You remember what as I said ago, we'll touch on it next week. He did learn that one lie from his father, and his father, and God got him out of it in not the same way. You know, Abimelech and him, the first one with Abraham, liked to die from it. And they said, uh-oh. Well, he didn't do quite that bad. He just said, hey, this ain't right. You need to leave. So he had to leave, and God blessed him. Anyway. I'm just grateful God loves us, but you have to remember, he has a plan for you if you're not apathetic. And it'll be so much better than the plan you ever constructed yourself. I promise you. You may have to wait a little while, but it'll always be better. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Just thank you for the testimony of your word in the life of the people you used to get us where we are today. We just ask your blessings, that you would continue to be patient with us, that we would see, we would think, we would analyze what are we doing in our life that's wrong, and allow you to change us, not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our community, and for your glory, so that you'll be glorified. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.